This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to WHL This Week. Week 2 begins, and we begin with new WHL Commissioner Dan Neer. He'll stop by to talk opening weekend, his observations, some changes for fans to watch out for, and a changing junior hockey landscape. Don't miss that chat. Hey, speaking of changes, in Portland, Kyle Gustafson promoted from associate to head coach this offseason. We check in with the Winterhawks' new frontman. Hey, what a season debut for Brandon's Roger McQueen. One of the top NHL draft eligible forwards is the WHL Player of the Week. He'll come by a little later. First up. Kicking off WHL This Week is Commissioner Dan Neer. Now in his first full season on the job for the WHL, he joins us on the line. Dan, first of all, opening weekend is in the books, and I understood you were on the road here to appreciate some of the markets and even a banner-raising ceremony.
Yeah, it was exciting to get to Moose Jaw on Saturday night. That was preceded by a visit to Prince Albert, my first time in that marketplace. And, you know, to be able to see both of these communities, both community-owned teams, a banner raising, see the excitement going on in PA. And, you know, they've got a great team coming up over the next few years. It was special. It was fun. And I got to do it before the winter hit. And so a couple birds with one stone on that one.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's great that some of these small market teams that are community-owned, like Swift Current in 2018, Prince Albert 2019, and Moose Jaw last year, are still finding a way in this landscape to not only compete but flourish in the WHL world.
So one thing that I think is special about our community markets, it's not exclusively reserved to them, but I think the idea that in these communities, everyone knows the team, everyone follows the team, everyone is passionate about the team. And maybe short of some really hardcore college football towns in the States, that's pretty unique to us. Usually people gravitate to a variety of sports and there's casual fandom and some avid fandom. Our community environments are really, really special in that we're the most important game in town. We're the biggest passion point, the rallying point, the thing that galvanizes the town. And that's something we're very, very proud of.
You know, you were on the job as of the new year, so you had a few months to kind of digest what the role is. What did you learn last season, and what are you excited to bring here for 24-25?
You know, it was a whirlwind trying to get up to speed and meet everybody, remembering names, trying to understand how our group operates in the clubs and the different communities. And I feel like I've got much better footing right now. I'm able to come in as an authority on matters and make decisions, and while still listening, and try and put us in a position to advance our product, advance the league. And I think, you know, when I think about that, I'm really, really excited about what's ahead from a player pool standpoint. If you look at our group of players, I think that if there are peaks and valleys and ebbs and flows to how the different leagues compete, WHL is certainly at a peak right now. I see us as competitive with the other leagues. I see us as truly the best development league, as evidenced when you think about the NHL draft this spring and for the top 10 coming out of our league. And, you know, when we're going to see these guys back in our league this year, and that's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. One thing you said in person when we spoke last year was that, you know, the WHL should trumpet more of its accolades, should talk about themselves. Maybe we don't do that enough here. And I'm seeing a concerted effort to perhaps share the good news. So it looks like sort of one of the things you talked about is coming to fruition a bit now.
Well, I'm glad you didn't bring up something that I've changed my mind on. I'm actually doubling down on that one, John. When I think about where we're at, we do such a good job at celebrating our players and our communities and being a fan of your home team, but we haven't done an adequate job at creating access to the product for everyone else. And whether that's ensuring that when there's a hat trick or there's an amazing defensive player, a goaltending player, or a Gordie Howe hat trick, that this shows up on TSN and on Bar Down and on Spit and Chicklets and everywhere else. But it's as simple as making WHL fans of everything going on in the league. So that when you think about some of these high-end players that are playing World Juniors, are playing, you know, Olenka Gretzky Cup, playing in the under-18 Worlds, coming from our league, they're going to be swinging through your town. And just like Connor Bedard, who 2 years ago was in our league, playing on our ice, visiting all 22 communities. We got a whole bunch of players in the pipeline that are doing the exact same thing he did. And I think that it's critical that you're not just following what's going on with your own group, as much as that's where your fandom lies. But as a hockey fan, it's an amazing opportunity to see some of these other players. And so creating access and exposure and opportunity around that storytelling, I think it's important for our fans and for our audience to dig in deep with our sport.
Yeah, I like that for sure. You bring up Connor Bedard, and I'm glad you did, because the WHL has its first exceptional status defenseman who made his debut on the weekend in Everett. Let's talk about Landon Dupont. It was a bit of a process, but he's here and he's debuted, and I know there's a lot of excitement around him.
Yeah, we couldn't be happier to have him. I've had the unique chance, and some of that is that the family lives in Calgary, to interact with him on a few occasions when we announced him and we did the opening press conference. And just a fine young man and mature beyond his years and ready to play. And you always wonder when someone makes their debut how that will all materialize. Will the nerves get to someone, or will they be overwhelmed, or will the size, speed, strength of the players in our league, intimidate or anything? Well, I didn't get to watch the game in its entirety because I was in another building, but I had the stream going, and it sure looked like Landon was getting significant ice time, playing power play, playing in the last few minutes when they're down a goal, and doing so with poise. And I'm not surprised to see that. And I'm equally unsurprised to see how well he's fitting in. There's a lot of pressure to be in an environment like that, going into a room full of veterans, a team that's been successful, and to come in there with humility and to make an impact, but not to shine the spotlight on yourself. And Landon's doing a fantastic job with that, and I'm really excited for everything that's ahead for him.
Yeah, it's a fine line when you bring that up, for sure. The 2026 Memorial Cup bid process is underway. The CHL announcing that five WHL clubs and their cities have put a bid forward: Brandon, Kelowna, Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, Spokane. I can't remember a time when five different franchises and markets were putting a bid in for this. What does this say about the state of the league right now?
Well, I would like to say it's healthy. I would like to say it's competitive. And I would like to say that people acknowledge the opportunity to bring a national event to their community is a significant one. It's a very diverse pool of communities that want to host this thing. And I think that's exciting. I think that we'll have a chance to review these bids. But the idea of the event coming back out here, I know Kamloops did a fantastic job when they hosted a year ago. And so the bar is very, very high. And has been set, and no one is expecting to fall below that. Everyone understands that with a competitive field like this, they're only going to be able to press forward and exceed that. And so that'll be our goal, right? Every time we do something, to take learnings from it and go one step further. But five teams being in the mix is amazing, except that means four teams don't get it, and a lot of disappointment at the same time. So you can imagine there's some pros and cons.
Yeah, always nice groundwork, though, to potentially make a bid in 2029 as well, and we'll see how it plays out for sure. There's some changes, though, for fans to look forward to this season. One is the 2026 CHL USA Prospects Challenge presented by Kubota. This is a different take on some of these special events. Let's talk about what brought this together and how the CHL is working with programs like the NDDP and getting a couple of games here out in the OHL this season.
Yeah, it's an event that's got a lot of speculation and conversation around it. And I think that's because pinning us up against our biggest rival these days, the United States, and in an environment where there's a little bit of uncertainty around, you know, these guys are playing together year round. We're going to pull a group out of the regular teams and to compete against them on short notice. How's it going to go? But I think we're really confident that we're developing great players. Our track record is good, and that we're going to be in a position to put an amazing team on the ice representing the three leagues in the CHL. And then this idea of creating a product for these draft eligible prospects that's going to be high intensity. And the prospects game goes away, which everybody's familiar with, and showcase players in probably what was a little bit more of an all-star game format. There's no coasting. There's no taking it easy when Canada plays the U.S. And so I think you'll see these guys going full tilt. It'll be a great opportunity to really see what CHL players are made of.
Yeah, we look forward to that and look forward to it when it comes out west as well to see those games. We mentioned a changing landscape as it pertains to NCAA college hockey and the CHL. Earlier this season, Braxton Whitehead, who was playing his 20-year-old season in Regina this year, committing to Arizona State University for next season. Now, this would be unheard of, call it 15, 17 months ago, but now it's becoming more mainstream. There's more talk about potential rule changes coming. Dan, what do you make of this changing landscape involving the CHL and NCAA?
Well, a lot of it is speculative right now, and people placing bets on what they think is going to happen. As you know, nothing has changed about the eligibility of CHL players in the NCAA, and so there's lawsuits and other things about that that I certainly wouldn't speak to. But I think what I can tell you, John, is for a player like Braxton, who's completing his eligibility with the WHL, has fulfilled everything that's been kind of required of him in his tenure. He's been an amazing leader. He's a 4.0 student. The idea that he would have unlimited choice as to where his journey continues, whether that's to U Sport, whether that's to professional hockey, whether that's to the NCAA, we think is good. And what I mean by that, if it's good for the player, it's good for us at the end of the day. And, you know, it remains to be seen how this whole landscape is going to change. But for someone in Braxton's scenario to have unlimited choice, or for someone who's coming up and trying to make a decision on where to play as a 16-year-old, if the rule were to change, not having to rule out one option or another option or play in a development environment that isn't the very best in the world between the ages of 16 and 19 is really something that I think can be beneficial to players. And at the end of the day, that's what we're in this for. We're in here to develop players, to be professional hockey players, but to be great citizens at the end of the day. And I think that Braxton is a trailblazer in that regard. We'll see how things shake out as it relates to eligibility, but I'm rooting for him.
Dan, it's a development worth following for sure in the time ahead. Appreciate you making time here on WHL This Week, and we look forward to a great season ahead. Cheers.
Thanks, John.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
The Portland Winterhawks have made some changes this offseason as Mike Johnston moves solely into the general manager and president role, and Kyle Gustafson takes over the head coaching duties. And Portland advanced to the WHL championship this past season and had a lot of graduating players. I spoke with the new head coach about this year's addition.
Yeah, we're definitely in a transition phase, that's for sure. We're right there right now, but we've got a lot of fresh faces, but also some guys that are ready to take a step too. Some guys that maybe played in a limited role last year that had great summers. What I'm fortunate enough to have is great leadership, guys like Ryder Thompson, Kyle Jozowski, that have been in the league for quite some time now. So definitely riding those guys a little bit, and they're unbelievable leaders to have.
You know, I think whenever we talk about Portland, the identity is known right away. Up-tempo, you know, generate offense, you know, really try to push the pace. You're a new head coach, but is that still the philosophy and sort of the calling card you want with this team?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've been with the organization for quite some time now. I've been in those scouting meetings. We certainly have a template of player that we follow. That's something that we hold close to. And style of play is certainly the style of play that in the past has maybe had led to some success. And that's something that we want to stay with for sure.
You know, I look at your roster and I think of Portland always being almost at times 50-50 Canadian-American, but I see 8 Saskatchewan players on your roster. So whoever's, you know, in Saskatchewan, you must be leaning on him a lot.
Well, there's some heavy influence, and we certainly have a great scout in Saskatchewan, Darwin Bennett, that's been in the league for a long time. And Darwin's very passionate about his players, and he does a great job, and he works endless hours to get us the right guys. And we're happy with our group. We're certainly happy with the well-rounded players that we have from Saskatchewan. We'd like to, as a league, I think we'd like to be a little bit better and more dominant in the U.S., and I think that we'll get there. But for what our group is right now, we like it.
You know, Portland's been a team that's put together, 7 or 8 straight 40-win seasons. And that's heavy is the head sometimes, so that sort of expectation. That would be probably a lofty goal for this year's team. But playoffs, is that kind of what a target is? Have you talked about that?
It is, John, and it's something that we honestly don't spend a lot of time talking about. As we're in this development stage, we're about developing the players and moving them on and making sure that we're playing right as a team. If we feel that we're developing the players and they're continually getting better, I think the 40 wins and the playoffs are a little bit of a byproduct of what we're trying to do. So it's not so much what we talk about a lot. I mean, if you come in our locker room, we don't have a standings board. We don't talk about other teams. We focus on what we have and the task at hand.
Kyle, congratulations on the promotion and best of luck this season.
All right, thanks, John.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
What an opening night for branded Wheat Kings forward Roger McQueen.
The Wheat Kings find it. McQueen airs this down the ice. Roger McQueen skips it to the empty net. He scores! One for the ages for Roger McQueen. Four on the board and a 4-2 Wheat King lead.
Hey, Rob Mann on the call there. McQueen named the WHL Player of the Week, and Rob caught up with him after practice.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Opening night was pretty kind to the Brandon Wheat Kings as a team, but maybe to no one more so than Roger McQueen, who joins us now. Roger, just broadly speaking, what was it like seeing that fourth puck go into the empty net and knowing you'd hit the four-goal game?
Yeah, obviously it was a great feeling, and the game was awesome, especially to have the lead at the end there. But yeah, the fourth goal is obviously nice to see it have eyes and get in the back of the net. But yeah, all in all, it was a good game.
The second and third goal in particular, you showed off your shot a little bit. It looked like you picked corners on both of those. Was the shot a point of emphasis for you during the offseason, something you tried to work on maybe?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's stuff you work on during the year and stuff you emphasize on, like you said. But yeah, it's kind of just picking your spots, when to shoot, more of a thing than picking corners. But yeah, that was obviously a spot I wanted to shoot at and got lucky enough to get it there.
When I chatted with you about it after the game, you were very quick to give credit to your line mates, Caleb Hadlin and Marcus Wynn. Now that you've got a couple games under your belt with those guys, how have you liked playing with them?
Yeah, obviously they're unbelievable teammates, and I couldn't wish for any better ones right now. They're the best players to play with. They're fast and quick and work their ass off, and that's why they're good. And, you know, playing with guys like that, you just have to be in the right spot, and goals come to you. Like I said, I'm not scoring four goals without those guys on the ice. That game, no chance. So, yeah, it's awesome playing with them.
And Caleb Hadlin, you knew pretty well going into the year from a couple years of experience. At what point did you kind of realize that Marcus Wynn was going to be a good fit with you on that line?
Oh, yeah, right off the bat. Right off the first practice we had together, you could tell he's a great player, and he's really smart and just moves the puck well and is great on his feet. And it's the guy you always need on the team, and great guy to trade for in the summer, obviously, by our team. But, yeah, he just fits right in with our line, and especially Hads is such a fast-moving and powerful forward that likes to buzz around too. And yeah, that's kind of new and too, with some skill, and just loves to get out there and make plays.
And it's a perfect opening weekend as far as your record is concerned. You get 6 points in two games. It seems like it was a pretty good opening weekend overall. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, obviously it's a big confidence booster for our team going 2-0 through the weekend, which is big with one home game and a road game. And obviously winning the home opener is awesome for the fans. Hopefully they can come back for those. But yeah, obviously huge confidence booster for our room, and kind of just getting settled into the regular season now.
Right before that game happened, the opening night game, you got the news that Bob McKenzie had ranked you as the sixth prospect for the upcoming NHL draft. Is that something that was on your mind at all going into the game?
No, not really. I didn't really see it until a couple people sent it to me. But no, I try not to focus on that stuff. Obviously, it kind of gets in the way of the game. But no, like going into the game, you don't really try and think of that. I'm trying to think of our brand and team, especially in how we're doing, to get off on the right step.
So you've beaten two division rivals back-to-back. You get two more now coming up on the road. What are your thoughts going into the series against both the Prince Albert Raiders and Saskatoon Blades?
Oh, they're both obviously great teams. PA plays really hard, especially in their building. They're a hard team to play against, and Saskatoon plays a very defensive and good, well-systemed game. So obviously both two teams that are really tough to play against, but we're kind of just trying to stick with our plan right now. It's going pretty well, and we're kind of rolling on all cylinders. So I think just sticking to the plan and everyone buying in, we should be fine.
Rolling on all cylinders, and you're about to get some help. What's the mood in the room knowing that Charlie Ellick and Carson Bjarnason are both on their way back?
Yeah, exactly. One's obviously my billet brother, Charlie, but yeah, it's awesome. Like, those two are huge pieces to our team. Obviously, our back end and goaltending, like, Carson's unbelievable, and Charlie's a force in the back end. But yeah, they're awesome to get back, and especially for me to have them at the house now, not be bored all day. But no, yeah, I'm totally excited, and I think for our team, it's a big confidence booster for sure.
And just one more thing on that same kind of note, looking away from the rink for a second. The other bit of news that came out earlier this week was that the Wheat Kings have officially submitted their bid for the Memorial Cup, and that's a team that you could potentially be a huge part of. What's the mood like in the room when you guys think ahead, or are you thinking ahead, to the possibility of 2025-26?
Yeah, obviously you want everything for the member to come here, and that'd be awesome for it to come here. But I think it's a big confidence booster, but also, like, you're just trying to stick on this season. Like, we have a good team, and I think we could go a long way this year. So the member, yeah, it would be awesome to have, but that's kind of next year thing to focus on. Obviously, it comes out in November, which is pretty cool to see and see what happens. But, yeah, I think this year we kind of just try and focus on this year because I think we have a good chance to go all the way.
Well, Roger, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to our guests, as well to Rob and Brandon for his help. I'm John Keane for WHL This Week. Have a great weekend.